Herzlich willkommen, Sia Namgela, and welcome to the Bundesliga Connection with Chris Harrington on SL Radio in partnership with DW Berlin.
Sokala Duma Radio.
It's time for the latest from Germany's domestic football league, the Bundesliga. For that, we are joined by the one and only Chris Harrington from our partner station DW in Berlin. Welcome to Sokala Duma Radio. Chris, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
No, it's fantastic to be here. You know, I'm thrilled to be a part of, you know, all of the great things you guys are doing in South Africa.
Definitely. Now, Chris, the Bundesliga will be coming back September 18th when the season starts. So, will they have the green light to have fans? I see RB Leipzig got the green light in principle to allow fans at the Red Bull Arena in limited numbers. Tell us more about that and where the Bundesliga stands on that issue.
Well, the health minister of the state where RB Leipzig plays believes that more than 1,000 fans could be possible again, you know, when this season resumes September 18th. But they're going to have to avoid shouting, singing, and screaming, everything fans love to do. But up to 20,000 fans could be allowed in Red Bull Arena. But every club is not equal. Every club in the Bundesliga does not have the infrastructure to support such an initiative. But Union Berlin is a good example of that. They don't have the ability to offer individual seating areas like RB can. Plus, it's a bit unfair to fans if some are allowed and others are not. Clubs agree on this all-or-nothing philosophy. But the decision is not up to the federal government. It's not up to the clubs. It's up to every local government. Every local state health minister, you know, has the call to make. So we literally could see an unlevel playing field when we think of what home clubs could use as fan support, you know, to get them over the hump and maybe get them 3 points on the pitch. So we have to wait and see, you know, how it pans out. But that is the case as of today.
Do you think that there's any chance, just to quickly ask another question on that issue, do you think that there's a chance perhaps that we could start the season with behind closed doors as we have seen, and then at some point, maybe halfway through the season, maybe when they're more prepared, they introduce the fans once they've sorted out all their issues? Is that a possibility?
Yeah, I think definitely that's a possibility. I mean, you know, the fan in Germany is the 12th man on the pitch, like, you know, a lot of dedicated supporters of this sport. So it is possible we could see some trickle effect, you know, in terms of, you know, some clubs starting before others, before other clubs get the chance to really build an infrastructure that could support a fan base. But again, we have to wait and see what happens with the coronavirus numbers. You know, right now they seem to be under control, you know, but the holiday season isn't over yet. When the vacationers return to Germany, we could be speaking about a completely different scenario, you know, but the ultimate goal is to have fans come back. You know, the Bundesliga resumed before any other club did. They got their season completed, awarded Bayern Munich, you know, the champions. So I do think they will try, you know, to set a precedent in regards to having fans return as well.
Now, Chris, you've been talking about Bayern Leverkusen's Kai Havertz and his links to Chelsea. It looks to be a done deal. How far along is that right now?
Well, it's not quite done, but Kai definitely wants it to happen. And Leverkusen are surprised how focused he is on leaving. There is, of course, the Champions League hanging over Chelsea's head. They're going to need to qualify for that, you know, to get Kai Havertz. And Bayern Leverkusen are competing in the Europa League. And according to all reports, Havertz will stay in place and try to get, you know, Leverkusen, you know, as far in that tournament as possible. You know, but Chelsea, they're young, they're hungry, but they're also human. You know, right now, they can get injured. Look at Christian Pulisic. He's down right now. Just imagine, you know, how the depth would be added to that roster if Kai Havertz would be available, you know, on the sideline to come in. That would help tremendously. The craziest thing in all this situation is Anthony Rudiger, Chelsea mainstay and also a German national team player. He played a major role in getting not only Timo Werner to Chelsea, but he's also played part-time recruiter in getting Kai Havertz over to the Premier League side, you know, as it looks to, you know, to happen soon enough. And the sad thing about that is the club has not committed loyalty to Rudiger. You know, his contract is set to expire soon. And we have to see what happens with that. But the loyalty looks like it's a one-way street right now. And that's sad to see because he's been putting in work that he's not paid to put in right now.
And how do you think of Kai Havertz linking up with Timo Werner and that Chelsea attack? How do you think he fits into that structure?
Yeah, I think it's remarkable. You have to consider the fact that they are teammates on another team, the national team, so they are familiar. Anytime national team players can wear the same domestic jersey, the kit, you know, obviously that's an added incentive, you know, because you get that familiarity with your teammates and so on. You know, and in Chelsea, you know, when you look at that young core, it's a nice, good team that could arguably become the team of the future if they all progress at the same rate. You know, I think, you know, it makes sense. It's kind of a blow to the Bundesliga seeing all of the young, hot talent leave. You know, it kind of waters down the competitiveness over here in Germany. But all in all, you know, it makes sense, you know, that the teammates would be teammates two times, national side and, of course, on a domestic side as well.
And what are your thoughts on the other rumors regarding young English prospect like Jude Bellingham, reportedly set to join Dortmund, and following in the footsteps of one Jadon Sancho, who's reportedly set to leave Dortmund? What are your thoughts on those?
Well, you know, Jadon Sancho is definitely a trendsetter. You know, Jude Bellingham is set to complete a 23 million euro deal with Dortmund. He's 17 like Jadon Sancho was when he joined Dortmund. Some say Bellingham is even more talented in some respects at that age, and he's valued higher. You know, Sancho was only 8 million, you know, when he joined Dortmund. But I interviewed Sancho when he first arrived before he became the 100 million euro plus man that we know him as today. He predicted young players would follow his lead.
How would you, in general, describe yourself?
Fun, vibey, chilled. Okay. I just like good vibes only. I don't really like bad vibes, not me.
How did it come to a point where you said, this is it, I'm going to be a professional footballer?
I think it was the people, like my dad, people that are around me at the time. They said, if you're really serious about football, then you've got to make sacrifices. And then from that day, I've made a lot of sacrifices.
Do you feel like this is your time now, you know, being a young athlete?
I think I could be a role model to people growing up, like, to say, my age is just a number, really. You know, so if you're good enough, then why not? So, yeah, especially in England, obviously people in England don't really leave the country until like they're like 22. I would say to anyone that's watching this that don't be afraid. Like, you're here for one reason, is to make it as a footballer. And obviously, you got to take chances.
Yeah, of course.
You can't be the best if you don't take chances. So, yeah, I just want to be a player where people say, I want him in my team, and obviously people like me for who I am.
And now Jadon has played himself into becoming a record transfer in the Bundesliga two seasons later. It's only a matter of time before he does reach that benchmark. Amazing what one player can do with the opportunity.
And who is the worst dressed?
Man, no, people kill me.
Catch my starter pack only on SL Radio, brought to you by Sokola Duma.
Sokola Duma Radio.
And, you know, Dortmund looks set to hold out for around £100 million for Jadon Sancho as well. How likely do you think that move to Manchester United is for Jadon Sancho?
You know, he's pushing, he's hinting, you know, he's sending all these cryptic messages and so forth, saying who his father was a fan of and other things like this. You know, obviously it is a business at the end of the day, and Dortmund, you know, aren't going to give any kind of coronavirus discounts. And we saw the similar thing with Dembele. You know, I think the worst thing to happen is complacency set in with the Sancho. He stays at a club he might not really want to be. Of course, he's going to give his all when he's on the pitch, but we might see, you know, some star power or ego issues similar to Aubameyang, similar to Dembele before him. And you hate to see that happen because it does kind of stain the reputation of a young talent. I think you have to strike when the iron is hot. Right now, the numbers Jadon Sancho put up, right now is the time to seize, you know, on his availability. And I think a club would be wise to pay whatever Dortmund is asking.
Another team that has a lot of fresh young talent coming through the ranks is Bayern Munich themselves, who have guys like Alphonso Davies. They have, you know, all of this young talent. They have the one boy from Arsenal whose name escapes me at the moment. But what do you rate of their chances in the Champions League and that Chelsea tie of theirs?
Well, you know, come on, Chelsea. They have quite the hole to dig themselves out of, you know, with the 3-0 disadvantage going into that match. Leroy Goretzka spoke on this, issue right now. It's going to be an issue of collecting dust. You know, Bayern, obviously, they're not competing right now. Chelsea are going to have to be on their A game because they have something to prove in the Premier League in the standings. So they have that in their favor. But me, having interviewed several Bayern players, specifically Serge Gnabry, their training is like a battlefield. Their training could arguably be more competitive than the matches they deal with in the Bundesliga. So I don't think it'll necessarily hurt them. I think their roster, you mentioned Alphonso Davies. I mean, you can't teach speed, and that kid has it, in droves, basically. He's a threat up front. They're a threat, but Lewandowski looking very healthy. Thomas Müller, they all look good under Hansi Flick. He's been doing wonders. I have them picked, as favorites for the Champions League, to win the treble this season. And I think everything that they've shown thus far, especially the way they ended the season, you'd be an idiot and insane not to believe that they are capable of doing that. They have to wait and see. Barca, Napoli, a lot of question marks, remain. But as far as Chelsea, come on, man. You're kidding me? Chelsea, they're going to be putting – they're going to eject Chelsea, very quickly, I think.
Now, Chris, I have a lot of respect for you. You're a student of the game, and I'm a young student of the game. And so I have to ask you, how did you fall in love with the Bundesliga in the first place? How did you get involved with that league?
Well, I had spent time in Germany before, the military. I was here in the early 2000s. But when the World Cup came in 2006, is really, really caught my attention, because there was this big focus, on Jerome Boateng, playing, and it was also his brother, Kevin Prince Boateng. It wasn't that World Cup, but it was a subsequent World Cup. But, this fixture was a big question mark because that was one of the things I didn't realize, it was so diverse and the big stars the Bundesliga actually had. Obviously, as an American, American football, baseball, and basketball are the big three, but the MLS has been making, their way into that conversation. And, the competitiveness. I'm a former athlete. I love the idea of the underdog, of people being competitive. And having gone to a handful of games, when I first started working at Deutsche Welle in Berlin in 2015, the love just increased over and over and over again. And getting the opportunity to sit and talk to players, picking their brains, seeing what motivates them, the challenges they face, and overcoming obstacles, and succeeding, has really strengthened the love affair between myself and the Bundesliga. It's been quite the roller coaster so far, and I'm quite excited, for it to continue.
And lastly, looking at North America, what does a talent like Alphonso Davies, who's from Canada, what does a talent like him do for the sport in North America, particularly when it comes to the MLS and the future of that league?
Well, it's clear. Just imagine this. Imagine, you finding an unpolished diamond, in the rough somewhere that most people don't really go and scout to find premier talent. North America is not regarded as a place where you find your upcoming talent. Obviously Europe is reserved for that because of the academies, how much they're developed and so on. I think what Alphonso Davies, and when you look at where he's succeeding, you look at his football IQ, it's not his natural position, left back, it's not. He's a winger. You look at all of these factors, I think it'll really, have other teams pay more attention to what, North America has to offer in terms of talent. And I think, it's wise to do so. Bayern Munich was really smart forming these relationships with a lot of clubs. You have the club in Dallas was another club. They're pretty much setting the bar in terms of what other clubs in the Bundesliga, I believe, will continue and follow. But you can look at another goalkeeper. He's not Canadian, but he's American. It's Zach Steffen. Zach Steffen, played at Fortuna Dusseldorf, but he's on loan from Man City. He really got on the radar playing in North America and really regained attention, across the Atlantic Ocean because he had a stint at the second team at Freiburg. That didn't really pan out so well. So what you have in North America is you have an opportunity for a lot of players that might need to refine some skill sets, but they have that natural talent. And I think, that combination really makes it interesting for teams trying to strengthen their roster, increase their depth in Europe and trying to remain competitive because, it's all about the prospects and who finds them first and who develops them. And Bayern Munich has definitely set a good example for what other clubs need to start doing in Alphonso Davies.
Well, Mr. Chris Harrington, thank you very much for joining us all the way from our partner station, DW. It's been an honor and a privilege, sir. Have a fantastic day.
All right, you as well. Thank you.
Sokala Duma Radio.
Sokala Duma Radio.